So I fell over and I couldn't get back up because I had, you know, 60, 70 pounds in my backpack.
Yeah.
I was just turtling. I had to take my backpack off.
Yeah.
Because I was like, just, I rolled around for a little bit and then I was just like, screw this, man.
Welcome back to Knox and Nature, the podcast about archery, hunting, hiking, conservation, firearms, and whatever else we feel like talking about. It is episode 37 today. It's just Justin and I. Jared had some other stuff he needed to take care of, but we're going to make the most of it. It is Snowmageddon, really.
There's a lot of snow out there.
I think we talked about this similar last year, right before Christmas. We had another crazy winter snowstorm.
Yeah. I didn't think we were supposed to get that much. And then last night we got...
It changes every day. Yeah, last night, even where I'm at, which is closer to the bay, you know, I mean, that we got probably 3-4 inches. Would you get 6 inches here?
If not more, yeah. Yeah. It was a lot because I was waiting to snowblow. My plan was to snowblow this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we got, you know, 3-4 inches over the last couple days.
Right.
But I was like, I'll just wait till Sunday and whatever, do it all at once so I don't have to snowblow in the snowblow.
Yeah, probably 8 inches.
And then when I got home last night, I was like, oh shit, like there's a lot of snow.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have been able to get on my driveway. Like I pulled in. And
yeah,
it was sitting there until I snowblowed.
If I don't snowblow tonight, I'm going to for sure have to do it tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So I think we're also supposed to get a little bit more snow this week. And then...
I don't know. I haven't looked at it.
The weather's weird because I looked Friday and it was supposed to be colder for the week of Christmas was going to only be like 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Which for me, I'm like, cool, because snow's not going to melt. It's not, hopefully should be contained. There's not a lot of precipitation in the forecast, so hopefully roads are good and, you know, for travel and everything like that.
Yeah.
For the family that's coming up. And then we looked yesterday, and then it was supposed to be warm again with precipitation this week. I'm like, man, all the time. That's the hard part about this time of year, like wanting to have snow for Christmas is it's great. It, you know, it's ambiance, right? Sets the vibe, I guess. Yeah, but
you got to have snow for Christmas. Otherwise.
But it makes travel that much more difficult.
Yeah.
Especially like for me, I've got, you know, elderly grandparents that are coming from, you know, my grandpa's in New Mexico, so he's flying in. We got to go pick him up.
Oh, yeah.
But my grandmother's downstate. My other grandmother's on the complete other side of town. You know, my sister and brother-in-law are on the other side of town. Mm-hmm. My brother now is still closer to us, but, you know, he's got to drive as well.
Yeah.
It's just... It creates unneeded. My aunt and uncle are downstate. My other aunt is downstate. You know, yeah. It's like
it'd be nice if we like got if we got the snow that we have, and then it just didn't snow anymore until
right. It was like 30 and blue skies.
Yeah,
until Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
It's road, like clear roads stay dry and everything's
exactly
everything's good. But we just keep on getting more snow, which is weird because we had a couple years. Last year was a real good winter. But then the year before that, we'd get dumped on with snow, then it would all melt. Dumped on with snow,
yeah,
then it all
melt. There was a couple of years ago where I think it was right before, I'm trying to think timeline-wise. I think I was still in college. So this would have been, I don't know, 3 years ago maybe. But like the week, Christmas was on like a Tuesday or something like that, maybe a Monday. And I went bow hunting the Saturday before Christmas. There was no snow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I'm like sitting in a tree, you know, in the saddle, freezing.
Right.
But it was like mostly my toes. But
yeah.
That's before I knew how effective those boots are at insulating.
Mm-hmm.
So in a perfect world, I need to hike in not wearing those boots so that my feet don't sweat and then put them on in the stand. But that's such a pain, yeah. Especially with the saddle.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to go slow, but then you can't wear too thick of socks. And I didn't know what merino was back then.
Right.
So now, like, I'll go snowblow the driveway, and I'm wearing merino socks. And at the end, like, my feet are sweating, and then I usually shovel after the fact. You got to clean up, like,
right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But my feet don't get cold because the merino, you know, wicks that moisture away, and it's the perfect amount of insulation from the sock, but then the boot, you know, it's a 1600 gram thin slate lacrosse right. boot is what they are. And they do a great job. The first time I realized it is I had forgot my thick winter socks and I was wearing just those boots actually working up in the UP. But I was wearing those boots because they were warm thinsulate, and my other insulated boots lost their waterproofing because they're just old and beat up or whatever. Right. But I was wearing those boots with like thin cotton socks, and my feet were warm.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, this is awesome.
Right.
So thin merino socks is the way to go with those, 100%. You just, you'll be good.
Yeah.
But it's also going to be bitching for skiing and snowboarding here in a little bit.
It's probably great right now. You know, when I was up at Boyne for the Sky Bridge, it looked really good.
Like, did they have their stuff groomed though?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked.
Because that's the only thing like for me is like I would
February.
I would like to have the, I'd like this. Like, having the snow is great, and like, you know, going through powder and whatnot is fun.
Yeah.
But when it's unkept and you get like big drifts and whatnot, if it's super soft, you can't get down the hill very well.
Right.
So sometimes that's fun, but I usually like to do that. Like in January, we get 3-4 inches and then it's fresh powder and they groomed like a couple days prior. Then it's smooth, but it's still powder. It's fun.
Yeah.
Right now, I think they're probably going to be doing some maintenance to everything because they got to build up berms and not even like jump wise, but just like sides of the hill so that you're not drifting off into trees and whatever because all that stuff kind of slopes out of the way. But and I'm sure they're still making snow for that.
Yep. Yeah, Boyne had their snow machines going or whatever.
Especially for a terrain park, I mean.
Right.
They just need to have a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool. I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah, if we wanted to, we could go skiing right now. I mean, not right now, but.
I mean, I've got time off coming up, so maybe in between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
You know, I think Wednesday. I don't know if they do that before the end of the year, but.
I don't know how it works. I haven't looked at.
I mean, even if you got to pay the $40.
Right.
It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Kind of annoying, but.
If you had a full day, you know, or you know, a good half day or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you skied 5 to close,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you'd be good. For sure.
Yeah. It'll be fun. It's coming up. I'm ready for it. I just looked at my skis. I was like, oh, yeah. I got to take mine in to get waxed.
I don't know that I'm going to get. I probably should. I guess I'll have to. I wish Jared was here to ask him because it was just waxed last season.
Right. Yeah, I still have factory wax on mine.
Oh, see, that's we stripped the wax, the factory wax off of the board, and then we put new wax on top of it when he waxed my board. So I talked to him about it. I think what he told me, if I remember correctly from last year, is as long as, which I didn't ride it enough for it to matter, but as long as I kept like took care of the board, which I did, it should be fine for this year. But I think he was telling me that I should get it at least sharpened every year because it'll build up rust on those edges and whatnot. So I'll probably take it in to get sharpened because where I go to get them waxed, like if I go to Shush to get it waxed, even if I took it to Crystal, I think it's the same way. They do it on a machine. It's basically a big wheel with wax that just kind of like brushes it on there instead of like with Jared, we drip the wax over the top and then you scrape it. So it's completely flat and it does like a full, it's a lot better, I guess. I wish he was here to explain it, but because I'm probably butchering it, but
yeah, I have no idea how that works.
It was a pretty cool process. It makes a mess, but I could tell the difference. The board's really fast. And I think part of that is the nature of the board. It's a little bit short for my height, which I wanted. I want it to be just a little bit shorter, so it was a little bit more maneuverable for me.
Yeah.
And that's a rocker. So it's fast. It's not great for like carving and it's, you know, like a trick board or whatever. But it's not a super steep, it's not super crazy rocker. It's kind of in between.
Yeah.
So it's fun ride style. I think eventually I'll probably end up going back to the traditional, or I forget what they call it, but ones that are designed more for carving, because that's that's more of my ride style.
Yeah, that's kind
of
what we do.
I'm not really a super, especially with like rails and stuff. Jumps are one thing, but even then, I'm not going crazy. So, whatever.
Yeah,
it'd be fun though.
Be fun.
I've got some winter activities that I want to do. I want to try snowshoeing this year. My experience with snowshoeing has not been great.
Mine never was until I got those snowshoes that are on the wall.
And these are, so I saw a pair of 6-footers. What are these? These are probably 4s.
Yeah, probably. They're probably four and a half.
Because I saw a set of 6 foot Canadian made snowshoes just mm-hmm. like this. They're probably a little bit wider, which makes sense if they're a little bit longer too. But
yeah, they have different styles. I can't remember. I don't remember what this style's called. But it's basically like a long and skinny wood with the mesh kind of traditional style snowshoe. But then they also have like, I know that one's called the Alaskan, where they're more
like a little wider.
They're way wider. They almost look like a beaver tail. Like they're,
I think that's more of what these were.
Short, fat.
Oh, okay.
You know, almost like a circle, but
these ones weren't short. Cause they, like I said, I think they said they were 6 foot tall, which seems really big.
That seems really big. But if you're a bigger dude, you might need that. Like I don't need a hole, but like I've snowshoed with those with like my pack, my Kafaru, you know, I got 60 pounds in it. I was just doing it for like exercise and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, it works great. Like I've never had an issue. The only issue I have with those is when you have to cross like plowed roads or two tracks or something where, you know, you almost have to go up sideways and kind of sidestep it because they are a little bit longer. So you can't come at it, you know, perpendicular to the,
right.
You know, cause you're, if you have to go down or
whatever, it's longer,
it's longer. So you kind of have to sidestep it. I had one time I was trying to cross this road or whatever. And I tipped over, fell in, you know, 4 feet of snow or whatever the hell it was. We had a ton of snow and then all the plow, you know, shit from getting plowed. So I fell over and I couldn't get back up because I had, you know, 60, 70 pounds in my backpack.
Yeah.
I was just turtling. I had to take my backpack off.
Yeah.
Because I was like, just, I rolled around for a little bit and then I was just like, screw this, man.
I saw there's quite a few. I mean, the technology with the snowshoes now is really cool because I can remember doing like buckles and straps. We snowshoed in school. It was like part of gym class.
Yeah.
We did that. I did that
and I had I hated snowshoeing because of it.
That was kind of my experience, but I see them now. And if you're doing like modern snowshoes, you know, they're all aluminum, but they've got like different, they're super lightweight. I remember the ones in school, maybe it's cause I was a little kid, but I remember they were heavy.
Yeah.
And the straps I always thought was annoying. Now they've got them with a boa on them,
right.
Which I think is cool.
I always remember them coming off all the time. They'd pop off and I hated that.
Those ones have like spikes on them too for like ice.
Yeah.
These ones don't.
That's like my dad uses like newer style aluminum snowshoes and he has great luck with them.
This seems like it would be more effective in deeper snow because there's way more surface area.
It is for sure.
So he's probably 100%. Sinking down further than you are still.
Yeah. And most of his hiking's on like two tracks and stuff. That's kind of packed down. He's not blazing trail. You know, those things, I could walk right through the woods wherever I want.
And you can walk through your front yard and you're going to be fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to try them out.
You know, they got character.
It's like shooting a longbow.
Right. They're just
way cooler. Yeah.
Way cooler.
I'd like to experiment with it because like we talked about, I mean, that is good exercise. And this is kind of like this is the off season for us, basically. I mean, there's still some hunting going on, but we're not going at it as hard as we were in October,
right?
Or even November. So, to get out and even if you are going to go hunting, you know, go for a little hike with some snowshoes. I have not been back to that permission piece because nothing's been plowed. There's been no maintenance done.
Right.
And there's probably 2 feet of snow out there.
Yeah.
And that's a big field, so it drifts.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to risk getting stuck. Right. I'd have to park on the road. So I'm like, whatever. There's other pieces that I can go get on and whatever. And then he's going to be back for late antlerless harvest or whatever, which I think is coming up. So, whatever.
Yeah, it's got to be.
But it's just another way to get out and do something. Wintertime's hard because it's cold out and, you know, I don't really have, I will do it. I have done it, but it's hard to have the motivation to go out and shoot your bow for a long time. Mm-hmm. Typically, if you're shooting in the wintertime outside, you shoot a couple of groups and you're like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And that's it. So the advantage of, you know, I'll probably take a trip at some point downstate to go shoot that indoor range, Untamed.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it's a 40-yard max range.
Oh, really?
I think it's pretty big. I know it's over 20.
Really?
From That's what cool. I read. So, especially when we're getting ready to set up tack bows and whatnot, that'll be a really good place to get at least like your 20-yard set.
Right.
In a controlled area where you're not worried about getting blasted in the face with snow. Because I try to have all that stuff set up in February. But the problem is if you're getting hammered in the face with snow, it's not motivating to stand outside and tune and try to dial something in, which is why I end up usually redoing my sight tape.
Right.
The other thing I thought about is, like, related to that, I have all those left-hand sight tapes from that UltraView sight. And with those left-handed sight tapes, all I would have to do is make sure I can read the numbers. I might have to cut it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But I could probably use them on that Excel.
Probably.
Or I might be able to just... A sight tape's a sight tape at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So they don't make that sight anymore that's on the Traverse, but I think I could just buy generic Excel stick-on sight tapes.
Yeah.
Or really any generic stick-on sight tape.
Right.
And be pretty good.
There's a couple of those like aftermarket brands that...
I really like the idea of the setup tape. I don't know if UltraView started doing that or if that was another brand. I guess you said your Spot Hog had one too, right?
Like the calibration tape?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So though that's really nice because my Excel didn't have that. You had a little piece of white vinyl basically already on the site, like when you got it. And you'd take like a really fine line pen and mark it. Unless there was a setup tape hidden somewhere. That's how I was taught how to do that was take a little, a really fine, you know, like those Pilot super fine tip pens.
Yeah.
And you'd find your 20, you'd make a little mark, you'd find your 60, you'd make a little mark. And then you just hold up the sight tape to whichever one was closer to that 20 and 60. Up. And so that's why you have to play with it. And
right.
Even with the lift, when I had it set up, I think I started with a four. When I had it at 70, it was at like sight tape 10 or 12 or something like that. Bumped it up to 80. I was on like sight tape 4, and then I think I landed at 6. And that's with a 470 grain arrow.
Right.
So
it's crazy.
And I'm also going to shoot, I think I talked about this, that bow is going to be 70 pounds at 75% let off the Traverse.
Yeah, right.
For tack. So super exciting. Kind of off on a little tangent there, but
right.
Bow hunting's just an archery is what I think about the most. I'm excited because I'm going to have a cool arrow build coming. You're going to have the finishing up of a bow build. We actually haven't published anything on that.
So. No, we haven't actually. I kind of forgot about it. It's just been sitting down in the basement.
We've been slowly chipping away. What we could do is pull everything off of it once you have the final setup because it's not tuned or anything, right?
No, it is.
Oh, you did tune it? I thought you just got lucky.
I don't remember if I should. Actually, I don't know if I shot it through paper or not. I think I got it close, and then
you had it sighted into 20.
I think I have it sighted into 20, but it might not be perfect. I don't remember. Because then I tuned my hunting bow and I did all that, so I can't remember. I don't remember.
Because we could do a video on that bow build.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just pull the stuff off of it, whatever, even if you keep the rest on.
I mean, we don't even have to pull the stuff off of it. We just give a good setup thing, you know?
Yeah, more so to demonstrate like the how or why things are set up the way they are.
Yeah, because Nick tells me to do it this way.
Well, except for the stabilizers.
Yeah.
And rests. I mean, we both agree we'd rather shoot a Hamsky.
Yeah.
Although I will admit.
It's a Hamsky that's on there.
Yeah. I'm talking about with the lift.
Oh, yeah.
And I will admit that R2 from QAD on the lift has, knock on wood, has not given me any problems so far.
That's good.
So I don't know that I prefer it. I like how streamlined it is. It's very lightweight. It's really small.
It looks kind of cool.
But there's something just so smooth. I mean, I've got that Epsilon on the Traverse, and that thing's just... But I drew that back the other day just because I've been so used to shooting 80 pounds, and that thing was still at 60.
Right.
I drew it back the other day, and it's out of time again.
Really?
Yep. I mean, we shot a lot over the summer,
yeah,
and then it sat.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, that's the final straw. The thing needs a string.
Yeah, that's weird. I need to put a new string on my hunting bow.
Well, that you can warranty.
Yeah.
I got to pay pay $160 bucks or whatever to put a new one on. I mean, the string's from 2019, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it makes sense.
Yeah. I shoot a lot.
Especially those bows. You know, I'm so... It is going to be kind of funny because we both have white bows, but it's going to be cool.
Right.
It'll be really cool.
Yeah. That mine didn't turn out as different. I mean, from
a distance.
From 15 yards away, it looks like a white bow.
But it's glossy. Mine's matte. That's so true. There's that.
That's true. I'm curious what it looks like because I haven't spent a lot of time with that outside. I'm curious what it looks like in the sun. And
right, July when it's 70 mm-hmm. and sunny. Clear skies. Yeah.
Yeah. Should be cool.
It'll be fun. Yeah. And before that, I mean, because we got tech registration coming up, but that's not going to be till February at the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
And we can camp on site.
For Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So that's going to be cool.
That is going to be cool. Save some money there. And it's like a camping trip.
Which I think is going to be fine. I mean, I enjoy that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it won't be bad. The only thing that would suck if it was like hot as shit or buggy or like, you know.
And if it's like so miserable, I can't get any sleep, I'll just go get a hotel.
Right.
Even if I got to drive 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know. And also, we will have to look at it because they said they're going to have more details or whatever. You know, if it's $50 to reserve a campsite and you can put two tents on there, then we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's $100, might be easier to just find a hotel room.
Right. Yeah, you can find pretty good deals on hotels,
especially if you're booking far out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whatever.
We'll
the advantage, I guess, for that is you wake up and you're at tack, so you can just go hit the range versus having to get in the truck and drive and pack all your stuff up at the end of the day.
Yeah,
we just have our bows set up.
That would be kind of cool.
Put them in the truck and lock it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. But it'll be fun. Speaking of camping, though, I have this thing in my head. Like, I have this urge to go winter camping, like in the snow. I want to do it. I think it'd be really fun. And I don't know. I think I have all the stuff to do it successfully. I have an insulated sleeping pad that I took to Utah. It's a really cheap one off Amazon, but it worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knock on wood, haven't had any bad luck with it. I have that cheap, it's a One Tigress four season tent. But when I was in Utah, you know, it was like 25 outside, 22, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was probably 40 in the tent.
Wow.
I could sit up in my tent in just a t-shirt and it was cold, but I wasn't like shivering.
Right.
You know, I was like, okay, this is, I want to put on a long sleeve at the very least, but
mm-hmm.
where I would put on that ambient hoodie, I could sit in my tent all night.
It was fine. I don't think I have gear for that. I mean, I think I could make my stuff work, but it would not be ideal.
Yeah. Really what you, because your tent doesn't have a floor to it, does it?
It does.
Yeah. Okay, so really what you would need is the sleeping pad and a sleeping bag, which are
I have. I have a insulated sleeping pad, and then I have
But what's it rated for? What's the R value?
I don't remember. I would have to look.
Because mine's inflatable, and then it also has an R value of like 7, I think, is what it says. So it's...
This is 4.4. I just had it laying right here. Yeah, it's an R value of 4.4.
And how thick is it when it's blown up, if you had to guess?
2.5 inches.
So mine's like 4 or 5 inches. It's really? Like an air mattress.
This says four season.
Oh, I'm sure it is, but when you're camping directly on snow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're not going to have the ability to like expose earth and warm it up just because it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be right on top of the snow. Yeah, I thought that was funny. Justin's dad drew a funny guy laying on the sleeping pad on the package for it.
Just a stick figure.
Goofy. He gave you hair, though.
I had hair back then.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I would really want to do, kind of just to challenge myself. The other thing I thought about is like I'm already going to be packing in my big pack to be able to do that. 'Cause
oh, for sure.
The my sleeping bag, the mummy bag that I that the 0 degree bag that I have, even in the compression sack, won't pack down small enough to fit in the Manimal. It takes up like the whole thing.
Right.
So I'd be taking the Modus anyway, and with all of that storage that's internal, because you can pack everything inside, you wouldn't have to use compression straps.
Mm-hmm.
But I have that sheep hide that's would cover my torso basically.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking I could put that underneath the sleeping pad in direct contact with the ground. And then the sleeping pad with its insulated value plus the sheep hide.
Mm-hmm.
If it was really, really cold, that might get me what I need.
Yeah.
Because I've done that in the hammock when it's colder. Like if we were to do like fall camping and it's going to be 40 outside, sometimes that underquilt, you want a little bit more than that, or at least on the sides. And I've put that sheep hide underneath me.
Yeah.
I was also with a 40 degree bag and not a, or I think it's a, maybe it's a 30 degree bag, not the 0 degree.
Yeah, I don't remember what my bag, because I got a mummy bag that's an old Jerry.
Like, I hate down mummy bag. Bags, dude.
I like them. I really like them.
I just, but I
I'm,
got,
I'm small. And can, yeah, I'm small and I can fit in it well.
And this one, I mean, like I said, it's a cheap one, but it's a long wide is what it is. So it's supposed to have extra room for your shoulders. And then it's going to be extra long. And if I lay perfectly still on my back, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm a side sleeper. So you got to roll the pack with you, or the bag with you. And you kind of got to shimmy so that it's not like pulling one side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of cumbersome versus the, I have an LL Bean. Well, the one I took to deer camp.
Yeah.
You know, it's a flannel pack. So it's, right. it's not nylon, super soft and warm on the inside. And it's wide. You know, it's just as wide, if not wider, than that cot up there.
Yeah.
And so I, you can, and it's open at the top. It's not mummy bag, so it's not conformed to your body and doesn't have a hood.
Yeah.
So you can kind of like get down in it and roll around a little bit, and it's really comfortable.
Mm-hmm. But
even in the mummy bag, I didn't have my head inside the thing, unless it was like super, super cold. I think there was one night I did, but I would put my pillow right on top of that and have my head exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. But I think the combination of that, plus if I wore my thick base layers, which are fleece base layers,
yeah.
I'd have to be a little bit careful hiking around to make sure I didn't sweat too much. But even if I just put them on for bed,
right.
I could wear those fleece base layers, and then I have that Sika, the Kelvin down jacket,
mm-hmm.
Which I was wearing today in town, and I eventually just started leaving it in the truck because as soon as I got in the store, I'd have to take it off, and I'm just carrying it.
Right.
And I start sweating immediately. But it's super warm. You stand outside, and the mm-hmm. only thing that's cold is your hands.
Right.
You put them in the jacket, and then your face is cold, and you know, whatever. But I think that thing's super cool. I don't know if I told you this, but so I damaged it skiing.
Yeah.
And I hit a branch or something and tore it open.
Yeah.
And then I bought down fill online and filled it back up and sewed it back together.
Yeah.
Well, when I sewed it back together, A, I'm not that great at sewing. And I did it myself because I didn't want to take it to a seamstress where they'd have to like pinch it and like
right.
ruin the shape of that, because I didn't want to have like a cold spot there, which yeah. is what it was when all the down fell out of it.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And so I'm like, I'll just sew it myself because I know it needs to happen. I didn't have any normal thread. I stitched that thing together with Bowserving. Like the thin, I forget what number it is, but yeah. the really thin Bowserving,
right.
and it's double looped. All the way around, it's like buckhide stitched.
Yeah,
is what it looks like.
That's cool.
And it's waxed cotton thread, or
right.
you know, whatever. So, it was. I mean, it worked. That's how That's how it was when it was in Utah, and it worked great.
Yeah, that's cool.
Still warm. So, but they're not very durable, is what I learned. The only thing I don't love about that is, I like the idea that it has a hood. But I almost wish the hood was removable.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I don't like having a hood on a jacket. I'd rather have a hood like on a hoodie.
On your mid layer?
Right.
See, I like having a hood on the outer layer and not having one on the mid layer. It kind of pisses me off when mid layers have hoods.
Well, the problem is, for me, if the hood is on the mid layer, it's typically a softer material because it's not a shell.
Yeah.
So the hood moves with you, which is why I like the ambient yeah. hoodie, or like the Fanatic hoodie right. from Sika. Even the Traverse,
mm-hmm.
which is the really thick green one that I have.
Yeah.
That's actually a gradient hoodie, but
whatever. It's like anyone that ever wears a Carhartt.
Yes.
The hood
stays in place.
Yeah.
And you're kind of turning with your waist. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel like a Michael Keaton Batman or whatever, but for me, that's just my preference. And then the advantage of a shell is you can have a hood up that's waterproof.
Right.
You know, obviously down isn't waterproof, but like on the dew point jacket that has a hood,
yeah,
which is, it's a rain jacket, it should, but it's waterproof. So you could put that on. And honestly, if you're in really wet conditions, I don't know that I could do it with the current dew point that I have, but you could squeeze that Kelvin underneath something like that,
yeah,
and stay warm. You know, or if you weren't getting too wet, you could wear it underneath as long as your down stayed relatively dry.
Yeah.
The problem is you wouldn't want to compress the down too much, and you don't want the down to get wet because both of those lose the insulated value.
Yeah. I think that's the advantage of, like, I know Kuyu has a lot of insulated rain gear.
Yeah.
So it's not just a shell. It's
right. Which would be like Sika has the downpour jacket for whitetail hunting.
Oh, really?
It's a waterproof. It's basically a Stratus system.
Oh,
with a shell. I don't know if it's quite as warm, but that's what it looks like to me.
Interesting.
It's a rain jacket, but it's got like a micro fleece brushed on the outside, so it's not as loud as the dew point. Hmm. Although I've hunted in the dew point and had fine success.
I mean, if it's raining, the woods are loud anyways.
Well, and for me, if it's raining, the coldest it can be is mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
I can stay warm in mid-30s with that shell and my mid layers, and just wear the mid layers underneath that shell and be fine. If it's colder than that, it's going to be snowing, in which case you don't necessarily have to have a waterproof shell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sucks to dry out the Fanatic system.
Yeah.
But you can do it, and you won't be wet during if you were to hunt all day for like 3 days in a row, you'd probably eventually get wet.
Yeah.
But it's a synthetic insulation, so it's not down. It's still going to be just warm. As insulating, it's still going to be warm. And until that water gets down to that base layer where it's going to touch your skin or make your other layers cold, you're still going to be fine. So I've hunted with the Fanatic system, you know, in an afternoon sit where you're sitting from, say, 2 o'clock to 5:30 or whatever. And, you know, I'm just fine.
Mm-hmm.
This is really not a big deal. Shake all the snow off of it when you're done. Put it away. You get home. You know, a lot of times you got to let it dry if you're going to air dry it, which is what's recommended.
Yeah.
It's in the house, so some people worry about scent and whatnot, which I get, but, you know, there's not really a great way to do that.
Yeah.
The incinerator series, that's the advantage of that. The problem is you don't want to put it away wet.
Right.
Yeah, so, that'd
be bad.
You know, I mean, it's like I said, it's synthetic, but you still don't want like that mildewy smell because that's almost worse than body odor, you know what I mean?
Just I would think so.
Gross. So I don't know. But there, I mean, I guess the point I'm getting at is I have a lot of resources with that stuff to keep me warm, and I think I could do it. Now, I know we talked about it a little bit.
Yeah. I think for sure you could do it.
I'd test it out like in my parents' backyard and just spend a night in the snow.
Yeah.
Because then if it got to a point where it was like dangerously cold or if I'm a little bit uncomfortable, I'll try to push through it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I know, okay, I might have a problem here.
Yeah.
I can just run inside, leave the tent, leave everything.
Right.
Just, you know, put my boots on, run inside, go hop in a warm shower and I'm good. So I think that's probably the safest way to do it. Even if I would, you know, I'm not going to hike 10 miles somewhere. Even if I were to do it, you know, on state land where I can camp or whatever, I would make sure I'm relatively close to the truck, even if the truck was parked right next to me, you know, because at the end of the day, you can get in there and warm things up and you know, it's just not instant.
Yeah.
So, but it's challenging.
It'd be
something
fun.
I want to try.
It'd be fun for sure. Something different, you know?
Yeah. I've got a couple of like random projects. You know, that knife, I haven't had time with the holidays, and to be honest with you, it probably won't be maybe that week in between Christmas and New Year, I'll be able to get some time on it because I have some days off work. But I come home from work. We've been working long hours and you know, stuff's been difficult. And then the weekend's just been busy with family and whatnot. So I got that knife I'm working on, which will be fun. Kind of like a deer knife slash bushcraft knife for camping. And then I've got a hatchet, two of them actually, or a hatchet and a big axe. I got a 4-pound axe that I need to hang a new handle on. And then I have a hatchet, which I haven't weighed the thing, but if I remember from when I bought it, it's like 1.7 pounds or something like that, which in my head, like a normal axe, normal felling axe, I think is about 2.5 pounds, if I remember correctly. So this thing's slightly smaller than that. It's like a, it's just a bigger hatchet. But what I want to do, most hatchets have like a 16 to 18 inch handle on them. And I want to hang like a 24 inch handle on this thing.
Oh.
So it's a lot more similar to like Grand Forest Brooks has one. It's called the Small Forest Axe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a camp axe slash like a boy's axe. So it's not something that you're going to take. You don't want that to be the only thing you have ever to fell a tree with or to split.
Right.
You know, ideally, you'd have a maul or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
This one, in my head, is pretty. It's going to be cool to have.
That would be kind of cool.
Because
make like a little hybrid.
Yeah, it's small enough to where you can choke up on it and you could even like whittle with it if it's nice and sharp.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have that slightly longer handle with it and you had to fell a small tree, it's not a big deal. Doing it with a hatchet, you're swinging one hand.
Right.
If you have a 24-inch handle on it, you can get two hands on it pretty comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've got that hatchet. I've got a stacked leather hatchet, which I don't know how big that is. That's an S-wing.
Yeah.
That's pretty old. And then we have a husky axe down at the campfire, and I absolutely hate the thing, mostly because of the handle. Like,
yeah.
It does a fine job of, like, because we have a big maul, too. I think that's a 6-pound splitting maul, and then these 2 4-pound axes. And the reason I want to hang a handle on the one is because that had a hickory handle on it, and when my brother and I were first learning how to split wood or whatever, he was center striking everything. And so it was hitting the handle and broke that, broke the handle apart. And eventually the thing broke to the point where you couldn't use it.
Yeah.
So I cut the old handle off. I have the head and I want to fix it and put a new handle on it because the Husky axe has like a hollow handle and you feel that vibration.
Yeah.
And I hate that. Like those old Fisker axes used to be the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's great because it's not going to rot. It's plastic. You know, you got this thick coating on the axe. I just don't like them.
Yeah.
I want a hickory handle, and I hate the ones with the varnish on them, too, because they're just, like, really slippery to
me. Yeah, right.
And then they say that you'll also get blisters from them, like, with old shovels that mm-hmm. have that varnish on them. So if I just have, like, a plain hickory handle that has, like, you know, you put beeswax or linseed oil on it to protect it a little bit, and if I could just do that, I think I'd be in good shape and have two really solid handles.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. And I think the 4-pounder is a Collins, and I forget what the small one is. So like they're not bad axes by any means. They're not super expensive, but
yeah,
they're pretty good. Kind of nerd out on some of that stuff, but it's fun.
I know nothing about axes. I have a Husky black plastic.
It's probably the same one I have at the fire.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
They suck.
The only thing I use it for is cutting down my Christmas tree every year.
Yeah.
I need to sharpen it. It's
you don't have like campfires though. If you had to split wood.
Yeah, right. I don't.
You would probably get a maul with a wood handle for that purpose. Which I never understood. Like, people always have axes with them. And you can split wood with an axe if it's nice and dry.
Mm-hmm.
But like we cut down that maple tree in the spring, and I'll probably try to split that in this next spring, like spring of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Start trying to split that because it'll also help dry it out once it's split. But when it's super green, obviously hard. And I'm definitely going to use that maul. It's so much easier.
Hmm.
You just let the weight of the thing, if you get it up over your head, it's only going to take a couple swings.
Yeah.
The only time I've had a problem with it is on ironwood, and I forget what like the technical name is for it, but you know, Northern Michigan ironwood, not African ironwood. The African ironwood is the stuff I'm making the handle out of,
yeah.
And it skates a rasp. A right. Rasp won't bite it. So I got to use a metal file and a belt sander. Yeah, it's nuts. But it's super durable, which is cool.
Right.
But this stuff that we had, we cut down to ironwood, and it wasn't very big. I mean, it was maybe 2 feet around at the very bottom. And I think I was able to split, you know, whatever. We cut down the whole tree, and let's say there's 20 pieces that would be split into firewood. You know, with a maple, it's going to take you a few hours, and you're going to be sore, but you can get that done. This thing would bounce a 4-pound maul. I mean, I literally tested this multiple times. Pull up your pant leg. You can shave with the maul. Mauls aren't even supposed to be that sharp because they're basically like a wedge.
Yeah.
But it was really sharp. Sharpened it by hand. No heat. No, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Got the thing nice and sharp. 6 pounds. I'm a pretty big dude, and this was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm putting everything I have into this to try to split this, and it's bouncing a 6-pound maul off of the wood.
Nuts.
Just leave a tiny little dent. Boom, boom. Insane. Wow. But you grab a piece of maple. Like we had a maple tree that my grandma had cut down.
Yeah.
And brought it back, whatever. And set up a piece of maple. You do the same thing. Goes right through it.
Yep.
Like a hot knife through butter.
Hmm.
Just insane that the wood is that dense.
Wild.
And not that maple's the hardest. You know, maybe it would struggle a little bit with oak too or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I don't know, is walnut harder than oak?
I don't know, actually.
So maybe with some of those other, you know, with cherry. I know I've had some issues splitting cherry with an axe, but again, it's an axe, not a maul.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But that stuff is tough, regardless. I just think it would be really cool to do that. Like, you've watched that Outdoor Boys YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff looks so much fun to me.
Yeah.
You just go out. The solo stuff would be cool, but it'd be fun to do it like you and I.
Little mini adventures.
Yeah. And he's doing it like over the course of a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, spend a night or two out in the woods.
That would be fun.
Be super cool. So, the only thing I don't necessarily agree with is like, that Luke guy in particular from Outdoor Boys, he packs in a lot of like heavy food, you know, and he talks about it. He's like, I'm going to be like, I can be cold, wet or hungry, but I can't be like multiple of those things. Like he gives a reason for why he likes to eat good out there, which is, I mean, you're carrying the weight, so you do it.
Right.
But for me, I'm like, man, I don't know if the difference in my pack is 40 to 60 pounds and that's just the food that I'm bringing for a 3-day adventure.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat a lot of dry food. Like
I like the backpacking meals.
Me too. I mean,
I don't
know that. I mean, I'll take my mom's chili over Chili Mac all the time, you know, but like, it's not bad.
No.
They're also not the best for you though.
No.
So yeah,
you eat
that.
Those for a week and can give you problems.
Just from the sodium.
Sometimes.
Well, think about how much water. Like, yeah, sodium, electrolytes,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of that comes from preservatives because it's, you know, that's why they're super spicy and everything too. But the other thing is you got to consume a lot of water. So it doesn't take that much water to make the meal, but you got to drink a lot of water to keep yourself properly hydrated.
Right.
Because if you're, like, sodium, you need the sodium for recovery, but if you're not hydrating it, you know, you can run into issues there too. So,
yeah, when I do stuff like that, I drink a ton of water.
Oh, yeah. I think we went through, we had 2 5-gallon jugs of water. 5-gallon? I think they might have been 2-gallon jugs of water in Utah. Plus we would fill up our like normal water bottles or water bladders mm-hmm. when we would go somewhere for day hikes and whatever.
Right.
But I bet we probably went through, if they were 2 gallons, I bet we went through like 12 to 14 gallons.
Yeah.
Cause I think we filled them up. I can remember filling them up 3 times.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's 6 plus it just, I don't know. It would depend.
Yeah.
You know, so over the course of 10 days, and not all of that time was spent just hiking and whatnot, we drank a lot of water.
Yeah.
And I had to, because I was not in shape. I'm in better shape now than I was when I went to Utah.
Yeah.
And I really haven't done that much in the past month, you know, other than hunting, but I didn't do any cardio or anything. Honestly, going into hunting season, I was in really good shape because I ran that 5K.
Right.
And I get it, like most people are probably laughing about, you know, oh, you had to get in shape to run a 5K or whatever. Yeah. My mom can run a 5K in her sleep, but it did. It helped me out. I mean, there's a lot of people who talk about really struggling to get deer out of the woods and dragging a deer.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, if I had to drag a deer 600 yards by myself, it'd be tough.
Yeah.
Like when we drug Keegan's deer out, I was like, okay, that kind of sucked, but it's like 100 yards.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
And then you're like, okay, we're at the truck.
When I drug my deer out, it was terrible.
How far was that? If you had to guess. Or do you know?
It was at least 3/4 of a mile.
Wow.
It was a long ways. I should do that on Onyx and just see.
That's rough.
It was, yeah. It was shorter the way that I went, but it wasn't that much shorter.
Did you bring a deer drag with you?
I have a rope.
Okay. So you just like rigged it up?
Yeah, I just kind of rigged it up and I did it. Let me see here. Doing this live for the people.
Yeah, you don't have to be precise. Let's get it close. I'm going to guess, just knowing that area, I'm going to guess 620 yards.
It's about 1,000 yards.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
From where you, from where you recovered it or from where you shot it?
From where I recovered it. Give or take. Actually, it was probably longer than that because that's the river right there. So it's probably another 50 yards.
That's insane.
Yeah.
A 1,000 yards is far.
It felt far. It felt far for sure.
What do you think she weighed? It was a good, healthy doe.
It was a good size doe.
130 pounds probably.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. What helped a ton is I hooked it to my backpack.
Instead of your waist?
Instead of holding it.
Oh,
in my,
yeah,
hand, you know, or like having a stick or whatever.
You just hook it to your frame or you hook it to like one of the Molly loops?
I hooked it to the bag, actually.
Oh, you don't have Molly loops. Oh, did you have that one?
Yeah. Yeah, I hooked it to that bottom handle.
Oh, what is that for? Is that to maneuver your backpack around?
I think so, yeah. Just for picking it up.
That's probably a little more structural than just one of those Molly loops.
Yeah, I would. Because
that goes basically right down to the frame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure that was pretty, I mean,
it was sweet.
For what it was relatively changer. Comfortable.
Right. The only thing that I would have is like if I had to drag it over a log,
yeah,
or something, I would kind of like I didn't have enough ass to get it,
yeah,
over, right, you know. Because basically the deer weighs as much as I do.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about too.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think about. Because if I would have, like,
I was beat.
When I met you, though, because what you're talking about is you lost basically 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met you, you would have been pretty much at that weight. Maybe a little bit less.
Yeah, give or take.
But
give or take 10 pounds.
I mean, let's say, I mean, even still, 40 pounds. I would have told you, like, you don't have 40 pounds to lose.
Yeah. It is weird. It seems like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, surely some of that was muscle. That's just what comes with weight loss.
A little bit.
But
when I was losing that weight, too, I was working out every day.
Right, so you could have been building everything back,
too. So that kind of helped.
Yeah. That's wild, dude.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel less strong now that...
See, I did.
Yeah.
When I lost... I mean, I didn't do it in the healthiest way because I was pretty much just cutting weight.
Mm-hmm.
But I... And it was over the course of like several years. I mean, I didn't drop directly from 260 to 190, but you know, I lost that first 20 pounds or whatever and got down to 240 and I felt fine.
Yeah.
You know, probably just burning off whatever because I was still really active.
Mm-hmm.
But going from really the biggest noticeable difference was from 220 to 190. And I did not feel strong.
Yeah.
I felt like I was a lot weaker. And I was working out,
mm-hmm.
but I was working out for a physique, not for strength. I wasn't strength training.
Right.
It was just like high intensity, high rep, low weight type of deal. So yeah, I mean, that's probably part of it, but that was a bit, you know?
Yeah. It's a lot.
And I mean, I don't know. I was a lot bigger of a person too. Like, who knows? Yeah, at 260 though. I mean, yeah, I had a high fat content, whatever. But at 260 pounds, you know, you're talking end of my senior year of high school. I mean, let's go back to whatever. Let's say I put on another 10 pounds from junior to senior year. But my junior year, I could go back and look. I might even be able to find some of that stuff, but you know, I was squatting well over 400 pounds. I was regularly deadlifting close to 500. I hit 500 one time with a hex bar, not a straight bar.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I did that. I was bench pressing 290 pounds. I couldn't get 300. My brother always made fun of me because he hit 300 pounds when he was a senior.
Oh wow!
And I could not. I just, there was something about it, like the way that I was training, I couldn't break that mark.
Hmm.
It was like 290, 295, something like that. Couldn't get to 300. So I was strong. You know, I had, and you've seen my legs.
Yeah.
I retained most of the muscle in my legs. So I was strong, but there was just a lot of extra weight there that didn't need to be there. And the first thing I noticed dropping that weight was, especially from like that 230, 220 down to 190, because that happened pretty fast. I mean, that was a couple months,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit longer than that, but it was less than a year. I lost, you know, 30 to 40 pounds. And the first few things I noticed is my gait got narrower, so I didn't walk like a penguin. I wasn't duck footed anymore.
Yeah.
And my lower back and hips didn't hurt as much. My knees felt better. My back felt better.
Mm-hmm.
That was like immediately what I felt. I felt like I had less energy because I wasn't eating as much carbs.
Right.
That was something I had to get used to. But it was, I feel better now. I can't imagine. Like I pick up a 50-pound dumbbell and just like walk around with it. You know, it's like I can't imagine having all this, right, just
like a 50-pound backpack.
Yeah, just distributed.
Feels so heavy.
Over, yeah, right. Like, think about our packs from hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that just being how I was walking around. And I remember my feet hurting after we walked, like, those couple miles. I'm like, no wonder I hated, like, I was always dreading walking or hiking or whatever. Because, of course, there's so much extra pressure on your feet and your joints. And
oh, yeah.
It's just,
makes
it's
a huge
not
difference.
Even. Especially the lifestyle we live now. You know, I mean, sure, as a varsity football player, it helped to be big and strong and whatever. Like, I don't need to bench press 300 pounds right now.
No.
You know, is it cool? Yeah. If I was jacked and could bench press 300 pounds, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, you're trying to be a better version. You're stronger, whatever. Sure. But, like, I don't have a need to, so I don't need to be that big.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, there's dudes that are my size that can easily still do that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
They're just not carrying the fat.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'd love to get back into working out. It's probably going to be something where I'm going to have to find a lot of like home exercises because I don't really have time to go to the gym.
That's what I do.
And that's the problem I had before is I started off, I made a real commitment to the gym and that was basically my social life. Like me and, you know, Jake and I would go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
That was me hanging out with my buddies. We'd bring other people to the gym and whatever. And we did that for like a year. And then his job changed, my job changed, and we couldn't meet up as much to go to the gym.
Right.
So I stopped going to the gym
just
as much.
About.
Yeah, because you're like, then I was, it was like, okay, I'm too busy. If I still want to be social or whatever, I don't have the time to dedicate to this because it was in town. It's not like it's right next door to my house or in my basement or something. So now I'm like, okay, I'm not going to the gym as much. And eventually it just became like, why am I paying for this? I'm not using it.
Right.
So I canceled it. But there's a lot of stuff you could do at home just with body weight.
That's what I do. I do push-ups, pull-ups, squats. Yeah. You know, I have some dumbbells and stuff, and that's about it. But, I mean, I have the bar and squat rack, too. But
yeah, if I just had, like, the squat rack would be sweet.
I think it wasn't expensive. It's not a super nice one, but it...
Problem is, my house is not my house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I have to convince my parents to, which maybe... Because my mom goes to the gym and my dad is starting to get back into it with physical therapy. Is working out at physical therapy. He's not doing it separately right now. But before his knee got really bad right before his surgery, I mean, he was going to the gym every day. My mom goes to the gym all the time. Not so much in the summer because she's mostly running.
Right.
But in the wintertime when she's just like training for that stuff, she's at the gym all the time. Even just to run on a treadmill, which she hates.
Yeah.
But, so maybe I could convince them to do it. I don't know. But it would be nice to get back into it because you feel... I mean, if you consistently go to the gym and you take that stuff seriously for a couple weeks, you start to feel really good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. One thing I did notice, though, which is probably... I don't know. There's certain, I thought I was going to be a lot more flexible. I'm already a flexible person, but I can't say that I was, that I'm so much more flexible now that I lost all that weight. Like I was still pretty flexible as a big dude.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never got any more flexible. I'm not flexible at all.
Have you ever trained flexibility?
No.
So in high school, we trained flexibility all the time.
Really?
It was part of our weight training.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Flexibility and speed and whatnot. But like I had a buddy in high school. Have you seen like those big bodybuilders that can't reach the middle of their back because their arms are so big?
Yeah.
That was my buddy in high school.
I can't reach the middle of my back.
Right. Well,
my arms aren't big.
This dude was bench pressing 410 pounds as a junior in high school.
Oh my God.
Maybe senior year. He was jacked. All-state wrestler, 10% body fat, like he's a little weird, but like, dude was shredded.
Yeah. Right?
And he worked his ass off. I mean, like, it was legit.
Yeah.
But we used to put sticky notes on his back to mess with him because he'd have to pull his shirt, you know, and like grab it with his fingers to be able to get to the sticky note. He couldn't reach in between his shoulder blades. It was really funny.
Huh.
This way, too. He's just like,
yeah.
My arm's too big. So I would never want to get to like that point.
No.
And I'd like to be able to, I don't know, like that base athletic, you know, yeah, I don't need to be shredded. It'd be sweet because I've never been shredded, but like I don't need to be. As long as I'm conditioned enough and I'm able to do the things I want to do, then the rest of it's kind of whatever.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like I run sometimes just to make sure I can still run.
Yeah.
It's like if I needed to run a mile for whatever reason, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I could run a 5K. Like, it wouldn't be fast, but I could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't run in a month. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Since before we went to a little over a month, because it was before we went up for the Halloween camp. Was the last time I ran.
Yeah.
But even now, I was like, yeah, I could probably do it. It'd suck. It's so much more of a mental thing, though, than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. There's something to that. I mean, I'm never going to be Cam Haynes. You know what I'm saying? It's just not. And maybe there's somebody out there. Maybe Cam Haynes. Goggins, for sure, might be like, oh, you're just lazy. You know, you need to do this, whatever. But,
yeah.
But most people would be maybe. Like, right. And most people would be like, I just don't. Who really has 4 hours a day to dedicate to working out?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you don't want it hard enough. You're right, because I want to do all these other things in my life.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Cam Haynes is a lot more successful bow hunter than we are, though. So Maybe.
That's why he has 4 hours a day to work out.
Or
I got to get up
and work. Or is he a better bow hunter because he has 4 hours? Well, he did that with a full-time job.
That's true.
He didn't quit his job until a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's true. We're just lazy.
Yeah, probably. That's what it comes down to.
I want to sit on the couch and watch the entirety of Game of Thrones.
Right. Well, or for you, you know, it's the race car.
Yeah. I have too many hobbies. I wish I was a one hobby guy. It would simplify my life so much.
I'd save a lot of money.
Yeah. Instead, I just like to do a little bit of everything. I don't know. I get bored.
I get bored. This is going to sound so cocky, especially given my performance last year with archery. I didn't get bored last year with archery. But there have been times like bow hunting. I don't know if you've experienced this with your compound.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But when I was shooting the Creed, and I would shoot all the time, I was only practicing out to like 50 yards because I knew I'm not going to shoot a deer past that.
Yeah.
And even then, shouldn't have been shooting a deer with that bow at 50 yards. But I would get to a point where it's like, no matter what I do, I could be on my knees, I could be leaning against a tree or whatever. Like, I know I'm going to have like a 3 to 4 inch group at 50 yards mm-hmm. with this compound, no matter what I do. That rig was just dialed in. Yeah. Was it perfect shooting technique? No. Did I punch the trigger a bit? Yeah. But I was just fucking dialed.
Yeah.
And so I got to a point where I'm like, what else is there to do?
What now?
And that's why I like the 3D bow, is because you can tinker with it and it's like, doesn't really matter. You know, hunting, for whatever reason, that's like a more serious thing to me. Like, if this bow's on, don't mess with it.
Right.
Versus a 3D bow, you're like, you want to mess with something. Because at the end of the day, something goes wrong, you just shoot a bad score.
Right.
Who cares? You're not harming any animals for no reason or whatever. So, you know, there's some of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pretty hyped, though. So, should be a good time. And I think, honestly, even with like, I don't know that I'll film like a whole video on it, but I might film a couple of reels of like some fun stuff with that winter camping so people can see the setup and all that.
You know, yeah, we jumped
way, yeah, we jumped around.
Way back.
But I mean, even with the tax stuff and all of that, like,
yeah,
whatever. Then maybe we'll have some drag race footage or something we'll put up.
A Knox in nature. That'd be weird.
That'd be a little weird. You could put up a story or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Or if you want to see it, just go follow Justin on Instagram. Yeah. The capital J1.
The capital J1. I do post a lot of the drag racing stuff on there. Hoping to get to the track more this year. Not just the airports.
Yeah.
As long as
this weird. This year has just been
The whole crazy. Summer and everything. I don't know.
It's been a year. We've just been busy the whole time.
Yeah.
Which we've done a lot of shit, which is cool. Yeah. My throat's getting dry, dude.
That is too. I think it's just dry outside and dry in here. And
yeah.
I don't have a humidifier, especially in the basement.
Yeah, that's fair.
I keep on going.
Yeah.
I've drank a Nalgene full of water during this hour-long podcast.
Right. But yeah, it's been a crazy year. If you've made it this far, we appreciate you. I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever you're celebrating.
This is the last episode before Christmas. So,
last episode before Christmas.
I think,
May even be, no, it is. This is the last episode of the year.
Oh, wow.
So, after this, episode 38 will release on January 2nd.
Wow.
Which is crazy to think about.
That is weird, but
happens fast.
Another year in the books.
That's right. Yeah. Dang.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're going to get out of here. It's getting late. So we appreciate everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Hope you enjoyed this year. This is our first full 12 months of doing this podcast. So hopefully we continue to grow. We're going to try to bring some cool things next year and some more diverse content. Hopefully speak to a lot cooler guests and, exciting stuff. So If you want to follow the podcast on Instagram, that is KnoxandNature_podcast. Feel free to rate the show, write us a review, etc. We'd appreciate it. With that said, hope everybody has a happy holidays, happy new year, and we will see you guys in 2026.